Lord Jesus, that is the cry of our heart that we would be raised with you, that we would spend all eternity with you. We thank you that you have come to establish your kingdom among us. May it come in this place, in our hearts, in our lives, in this community, and around the world. Holy Spirit, open your word to us this morning. Stir in us hearts that long after you. Amen. I invite you to be seated. We're going to do something a little bit different here for the Advent season. Although on the top of my notes here, I have Nehemiah 13, but I don't think anybody wants to rehash that, do we? No? We're going to be looking a little bit differently here during this Advent season, the season that typically we spend preparing, getting ready for Christmas, getting ready for Jesus to come again. We're going to be, during our sermon time here, kind of thinking about some of the big pictures, the big story of history, the big story of God. We're going to be hopefully, during this month of December, gaining some perspective in life. Because really, I think life is all about perspective. It's all about seeing and understanding things for how they really are, what they actually are. Such as that picture. Is it a 6 or a 9? It depends on your perspective, right? It depends on where you're sitting. A few more. I don't know if you can make that out from the back. A guy on a deserted island saying it's a boat. A guy on a boat saying land. Your hope, what you're looking for, all depends on your perspective. I'll maybe leave this one up for a while. Is it a duck or a rabbit? The eternal question. We'll just leave that sit there and you can ponder that for the next 20 minutes here. But we're talking about perspective in life, how we gain perspective, how we come to understand, how we come to see, how we come to know reality, how we come to know and understand life, how life is meant to be lived. And so, like I said, during this Advent season, it's really going to be kind of a twofold thing. During our time together here on Sunday mornings, we're going to be looking at the big picture, the big story of God from the very beginning of Genesis to the very end of Revelation. And if you thought Nehemiah was a task, just wait for the next 4 weeks here. We're not actually going to be reading the whole thing. That was one of the questions this morning at Bible study. But looking at this storyline from the very beginning of Scripture to the very end of Scripture, because it talks about from the very beginning of time to the very end of time. We're going to be spending some time thinking about where we fit into this story, where we fit into this big, big storyline, this big picture here. The big picture we're covering today, we're going to be talking about creation a little bit today. Next Sunday, we'll talk about the fall. On the third Sunday of Advent, we'll talk about redemption, Jesus coming, and finally on the fourth Sunday, talking about new creation. I think all of history, all of time, all of Scripture can fit into those kind of four categories. And so we'll try to wrestle with that, see where we're at, kind of the big picture stuff here this morning. But also kind of the narrow picture, maybe the closer picture. This is where you can do some work at home. You all have some of these. Some are colored, some are not. One's not more special than the other, they're the same. But on the inside, you'll see there's a chart there. I encourage you to work through this chart over the coming days, the coming weeks here, really as a way of helping you gain perspective on your own life, as a way maybe of helping you gauge what's important to you, what's important in your life, and are you spending your time on things that actually matter, on things that are really important? Because as Christians, again, we have a longer-term perspective than, you know, what's going to happen just tomorrow or what's going to happen in our lifetime. We have an eternal perspective. And so how we spend our time, how we spend our lives, really is all about eternity. And so this chart kind of helps you work through your life a little bit. There's actually a video explaining it on the website, and I think Facebook, if you're into technology and that sort of thing, walking through that. But it asks you to evaluate your life according to four different priorities. The first one says followers of Jesus. Jesus should be a priority in our lives. Next one, Bible. Do you spend time in the Word regularly? The third one is church. Are you committed? Are you involved in our life together here at Trinity? And the last category there is neighbor. Do you care about your neighbors? Do you care about your community? About eternal perspectives. And so for each of those categories, it asks you to rate yourself. That's maybe the most difficult part. How do you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5? There are things that you're doing well, things, the priorities in your life that you feel like you're acing, you're doing well, things that you might need to work on. And then as the columns go through that chart, it asks you, what can you take away? What can you add to help you work on just one of those priorities this coming month here? So it should be self-explanatory if you read through that, spend some time there. If not, talk to me again. Check the Facebook page or the website. It's got a bit more explanation there. But really, as a way of gauging or helping you measure your own life, where you're at spiritually, where you're at day-to-day walking with the Lord. But for today, we're going to tackle creation a little bit. We're actually not going to even read any of the creation story here. We did that at Bible study earlier, and it's an account that's probably very familiar to all of us. But I wanted to take more of a big picture, kind of broad brush strokes here as we talk about creation. Because really, as people, origin stories matter. Right, that's all the rage in comic book movies, and that's, I'm not a movie person, but you know, that's all the rage in movies, kind of starting even 15, 20 years ago with Star Wars, right? You know, they came out in the 70s, and then kind of the second launch. That's really the origin story. You know, these newer movies kind of tell the backstory, how the first movies came about. You know, these origin stories reveal a lot about people. Where people have come from, how the storyline, the plot is set, reveals how life matters. For us as Christians, our origin story is found at the very beginning of Scripture here, Genesis 1 and 2. I'd encourage you to spend some time today or the next few days to read through that. This is our origin story. It's what reveals our relationship with God, who God is. It begins to lay the foundation, the framework, revealing who God is, revealing our relationship with God, our position with Him, and our relationship with each other. You might think, I know this story. I've heard it before. We talk about it in Sunday school when I was a kid, and you know, we've talked about it. I know since I've been here in 7 years or probably 5 years ago, we've talked about it. Why are we coming back to it? Why are we thinking again about creation, a story that we all know already? I think it's because our origin story, if our origin story changes, our whole worldview, our whole perspective can change. If our origin story changes, our worldview, our perspective changes. Think about what's been pushed in schools and by science for decades now. Really an implausible theory when you get down to maths and numbers and everything else, right? Thinking about Big Bang, the origin of the Earth that many scientists advance. If that is our origin story, if that is where we come, what does that say about our worldview? What does that say about our purpose, about our meaning in life? Because the Big Bang would say, we're all just here by dumb luck. And dumb it is, because it's like 1 to the 100 zeros or so. I should have looked at the number there. But the percent chance or likelihood of matter coming together is so low, it's almost laughable. You see, if the earth was formed, matter was formed, if people were formed by sheer chance or dumb luck, just a fluke, see, that says the rest of our lives are nothing but a fluke, nothing but happenstance. Really, it conveys that all of life really has no purpose. There's really no point to life. We're just kind of existing and floating as amoebas or, you know, whatever, here in the world. See, our origin stories matter because they speak to what matters to us. They give shape to life. It gives purpose, meaning to us. So what is our origin story? We heard it a little bit with the kids. What is our origin story? Where do we begin from? God? Yeah, God. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit existent there from the very, very beginning. Genesis 1:1. Somebody have your Bibles open. I didn't tell you to, but Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then over and over and over again, we have this call and response almost. And God said, let there be light. Let there be, fill in the blank, day after day. And God saw that it was good. And God saw that it was good. God speaks parts of the world, parts of the universe into existence time by time. God looks at what he's made and said, it is good. Then he says, day six, like Gail was saying, the pinnacle day there. Then he says on day six, let us make man in our image. And what did God say when he made people? It was, do you remember the difference? It was very good. God was well pleased with what he had made with you, with me, with people, with humanity. And then on day seven, he rests. Why does this matter? Because this gives us meaning and purpose to life, meaning and purpose to what we do, meaning and purpose to all of time, all of space, all of eternity. Because we see in this story, in this origin story, that it's not by dumb luck or random fluke that we're here, but that God purposefully created. He purposefully created you and me, this world, the stars, the moon, the sun. The list can go on and on and on. This reveals God's purpose, God's good plan behind the world for all of time, all of eternity. And it reveals, begins to lay the foundation, the framework for what we know about God. We see three things about God in creation. First, we see that God invested himself. You know, God was existing before time. I don't have a cool picture to help you try to fathom that because I can't get my head around that. But God was existing from before time, before the world existed. He didn't need to make the world. And yet he chose to speak the world, all that's in it, into existence for his glory. He chose to speak the world into existence. See, God doesn't need us. It's a harsh reality. God really doesn't need you and me. But he chose to include us. He chose to include us in himself, in his plan for the world. We see that God invested himself in us and in the world. It shows us that this matters to God, that this world, all that he's made, that you and I, we matter to God. Our bodies, this world, everything in it isn't just kind of a throwaway disposable commodity that when our time is up, oh, that's enough. No, God chose to invest himself physically into the world and creating it and speaking it into existence. In this very act, he says that you matter to me. And if we hear nothing else in creation, go away with that, hearing and knowing that you matter to God. That you matter to God. He invested himself into the world. He hitched his wagon to everything that's happening here, everything that's going on, everything that he's spoken into existence. He's invested himself here. God also gave us work to do. We see a little bit later on in the story that God entrusted us to care for the world. He called Adam and Eve and all those who follow to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, to have dominion over all that's on it, the fish and the birds and everything in it. See, again, it speaks the reality that God cares for us. Because he entrusted as precious as his entire creation to you and to me to take care of. It seems laughable when I think I'm supposed to take care of it. As I look back, all the stuff that I've messed up over the years. Talk to Cassie later for more of a rundown on that. But God's entrusted us to care for his world, to take care of it, to have dominion, to rule over it. See, God wants us to see that it flourishes. That's what we were saying as we were lighting the Advent wreath, talking about this shalom, the wholeness, the well-being of God. That's what God has entrusted to us, to care for the world, to have dominion over it. So God's revealed his relationship to us, that he's invested himself in us, that you and I matter, that he cares for you and me. He's called us to work, to take care of the world, to see that it flourishes, to see that it does well. But also here in creation, he gives us a glimpse and a picture of what life really is meant to be. And again, it centers around that word shalom that we've talked about a lot this fall, and we're going to keep talking about. Because he shows us what life is meant to be. As you go through and read Genesis 1 and 2, you'll note that Adam and Eve walk freely in the land. They walk freely in the presence of God. They carry on conversations with each other. It says Adam and Eve were standing there naked. They had no shame. They didn't care. It's a picture of the world as it is meant to be, a picture of relationships as they are meant to be. Our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, our relationship with the world, our relationship with ourselves even. See, in this origin story, in this creation account, it's not just some fanciful tale, but we see God's greatest desire for us and for his whole world, that we and all that he has made would flourish, would have life to its full, would have life in its abundance, would have life overflowing, would have joy, would have peace, would have harmony, would have oneness and togetherness with God. See, that's what creation speaks. That's the meaning, the purpose behind creation. It shows us what life is meant to be. And so together this Advent season, we're going to be journeying through the story. Next week, we're going to look at how life is messed up, how it got messed up, this shalom, this well-being, this peace, this harmony, this togetherness with God, this ideal that we have at creation, how it's comes apart, how it breaks apart. But also, as we, the next few weeks, journeying to see how God is making it right, setting it together, setting it back right. And finally, just before Christmas, we talk about new creation, the great hope of living in shalom, in wholeness, togetherness, once again with God. Because really in Advent, we talk a lot about Jesus coming, being born again among us, right? Jesus coming as a baby. But really, Advent is almost more important, focusing our directing our attention on Jesus' second coming, on his coming again. It's that gospel reading that we heard. The Son of Man comes like a thief in the night. Be ready. Jesus calls us this Advent season to be ready. To be ready as we know our purpose, the good meaning that God has for us, for our lives, and the plan he has enacted, he's enacting, putting together even now to reunite us, that we would be one with him, one with those around us. It's in his name and for his glory. Amen.